Welcome everybody to tonight's meditation session. And in our life we always have many things to do, and I'm no exception there. Even though I'm a monk, I have many, many, many duties. And sometimes those duties involve flying around all over Australia or other parts of the world. And even though that I do take on many responsibilities, because of meditation you learn how to let those responsibilities drop. The ability to learn how to put all your effort and energy into doing things, and then when the time comes to stop, to be able to turn off that mind and allow it to become still, is one of the great advantages of meditation. Now, the way we do that is we can just learn how to make sure the past never infects the present moment, and to allow the future to remain in the uncertainty which is its true nature. In other words, we don't second guess what's going to happen next. We don't run off into that future. A lot of times people run off into the future out of fear, thinking that if we don't work it all out, things are going to go terribly wrong. That if we can somehow plan and think about the future, that way we can control it. But the best safety of all, you will find, is not controlling anything. To be able to, what you call, go with the flow, to let go, to allow things to evolve, and to understand that if one cultivates the present moment and creates peace and harmony and energy in the present moment, then that's the best investment for the future. In other words, one makes one's future in a positive way by investing in this very moment now. And lingering in the past, you're just wasting time. When you understand this, you understand why this preliminary focusing in the present moment is so essential, not just for the practice of meditation, but it is crucial to be able to do things in life and let them go immediately. Too often that we allow the past just to linger, and sometimes we cherish the past. And a lot of the time, the past which we cherish is not the beautiful part, it's sometimes a negative part. What someone did or what someone said, which we really disagree with. And as such, if someone has done or said something which has been really wrong, terrible, cruel or stupid or whatever, who cares? That's their business. It's nothing to do with us. Even what I did or said, which was stupid a few minutes ago, I always say to that also, none of my business. It's the past, it's finished, it's gone. And I draw a line underneath it, and thereby I'm no longer troubled or burdened by what's happened. To be able to do that means that one can focus in the moment without having this burden of the past which you carry around with you. Now, the idea of stress in this world, the idea of the tiredness of human beings, the lack of energy and even negativity, all comes, or mostly comes, from carrying, well, I keep on saying, the coffins of the past on one's head. I call them coffins because they are dead stuff. They're no longer alive. It's dead, it's fixed, it's done. But we keep carrying those on our shoulders, on our backs, on our heads. The past is what is going to cripple us in the present moment. It just hems us in. It saps our energy and it depresses our mind. And so we cultivate this ability of focusing in this moment and letting go of the past and the future. Sometimes that people try and focus in the present moment as the first stage of meditation, just through negativity. Negativity to the past and negativity to the future. Be careful of that. The best way of staying in the present moment is not through negativity to its opposites, the past and the future, but this positive, nurturing, cultivating attitude to the present. It's not that we dislike the past or the future. It's more, we love the present moment even more. So we give value to this moment. It's important to us. It's crucial to us. We realize just how beneficial this moment is to us, because it's a place of peace, of rest, of energy, and later on you'll find a place of wisdom and even enlightenment. It's so important to us that whatever's important, we'll always watch carefully. many people in Perth, Australia, watching the soccer last night. I just read about it in the newspapers. That was so important to them. They didn't worry about being tired. They never worried about the future, the fact they have to maybe, was it last night or the night before? I don't know. They have to go to work the following day. They didn't think about that. They were just in that moment, just watching what was going on. Why? Because it was important to them. And that's a stupid football match. Now the present moment is far more important, because this is going to be great for your health, for your well-being, both physical and mental. So this is far more important. So why can't we value this moment and give it such importance that we're looking at it as if it's the final moments of a footy game where the scores are level and anything can happen? If we can give it that degree of interest, we actually add that value to it. It's very easy to focus. Focus does not come from you forcing your mind onto something. Focus comes because you use wisdom to make the object attractive, to make the object pull your attention rather than you push your attention onto it. So you try and arrange this present moment to be something which is attractive, to be wonderful, to be useful, to be valuable. And there's many, many tools which one could use. And just have a little commentary to start off with, how important it is just to be now. Just how this is the only time you really have. This is the place where life happens. Now, I don't know how many years you've lived, how many years you've got left, but you may not have much time left. You can't afford to waste any moment by fantasizing, dreaming, remembering, or planning the future. And those of you who've meditated enough before, and you notice what happens when you focus in a moment, you know how incredibly beautiful that can be, and peaceful and energizing. So when you really understand the power of now and the beauty of the moment, you will value it. It is important. Because it's important, it grabs the attention. So put a commentary on around the now, how important it is, how beneficial it is, how valuable it is. And then you'll find focus is easy. The result of that focus, as many of you understand, is a lot of the burden of life. That which causes us the stress, the problems, the negativity, the lack of energy, disappears. 99% of a human being's problems come from the past or the future. What's left is quite minimal. But the next stage is the silence of the mind. Like just now, you are waiting, listening, alert, like a cat waiting for the mouse, like the spider in the web waiting for the fly. Still, waiting, listening. That's such words try to evoke this beautiful thing we call silence, where the mindfulness is very strong. You're alert, you're awake. Like waiting, but not interfering with words, with inner commentary, with this speech which no one else hears except for you. When you really understand that silence and experience it enough times, that is truly magical. It's spiritual, it's holy. Once you understand that, as soon as silence comes, the mind values it, grabs it, and maintains it. Just what happens. In the old text, the Buddha said that when a person understands these things through experience or just through faith, their mind inclines towards such things and leaps onto them and gains steadiness there and freedom. Just what happens. I know that sometimes people think, can't you give us an easy object to watch, like the breath, or some visualization, or some chant we can do to ourselves, again and again and again. That's easy to focus on. Sure it is, but the silence and the present moment, they're more difficult to focus on. But once you get the hang of it, once you understand what I mean, and you start to value these powerful objects of meditation, you'll find your meditation takes off. It gets deeper and more powerful, and the effects from the meditation become just so much stronger. So persist by focusing on the present moment and now. Persist in the silence, and that will help you in many aspects of your life, where you can just become silent inside, in the moment, and just be in whatever's happening as you're driving your car, as you're working in your office, or you're going to sleep at night, or you're eating your breakfast. Present moment awareness and silence becomes the powerhouse of your ordinary life. And it also becomes the foundation for the deeper meditations. Once you have the mind that still and focused, then it's ready for work. And the work we do in meditation is focusing. Here we've got stillness, letting go of the big burdens. Now we focus. We go in, rather than having the mind spread over a wide area of existence. We focus on the breath. So everybody knows, the thing we are watching, to be precise, the object which we focus on, is that feeling, physical sensation of your breathing, which tells you breath is going in or breath is going out. There is something which tells you that. That sensation is what we watch. And it's not important where that sensation is located. Nor is it important what type of sensation it is. Don't care, as long as you know. Breath is going in. Breath is going out. That's enough. So being very clear what you focus on. And of course, at this stage, no control. Short breath, long breath, coarse breath, whatever. Your job is to watch. You're the spectator. You are not on the team. You're just watching in the grandstand of your mind. You're not on the field. You just watch the breath. And when you learn how to watch the breath, what you're doing is learning how to be aware of something without controlling it, to be able to observe without interfering. If you can do that, your breath becomes smooth. If you're interfering, your breath becomes coarse. If the breath never settles down, you never get this beautiful, smooth, peaceful breath. It means that you are meddling. You're getting involved there. You're controlling this thing. This is a little exercise which gives you like a reinforcement. If you do it right, it gets very peaceful. If you're not doing it right, it always is rough and not very attractive. And what you're actually doing, which makes it unattractive, which stops the process happening, is you're putting your finger in. You're meddling. You're not just watching, allowing this thing to be. You're wanting something. You're controlling. And this is the wonderful part where insight, understanding the way of the mind, is truly important. If it doesn't work, it's not you can't do it. Don't think that I am unable to meditate, there's something wrong with me. Everyone can meditate. It's nothing to do with your abilities or lack of abilities. Whenever you come to a blockage, investigate. Why? What's going on? And if you can do that, you'll see eventually how you interfere as a backseat driver. When the breath starts to become very peaceful, you know you've done some letting go. And the mind becomes more refined as the breath becomes more refined. Very often, as you become more refined, the tests become a little bit more subtle. You get what we call the beautiful breath. You're watching the breath go in and out. It's not just the breath. It's luscious. It's delightful. You're just watching it. It will grow in beauty, in delight, if you continue not to interfere. You let go more and more. Reason is, the energy which is consumed by controlling, when you really let go, now can flow just to pure knowing. The pure knowing, receiving more energy, brightens, becomes sharper, becomes more powerful. With the energy comes the joy of the mind. Simple energy flowing into knowing haven't been taken away from controlling. The mind gets brighter and brighter, more and more beautiful. Until you see the beautiful light, the nimittas which come up in the mind. Natural phenomena, because you've learned how to let go and allow energy to flow into pure mindfulness. And there, again, just to be able to observe, to notice, like a person who's a spectator, without interfering, means that light will get brighter and more beautiful. At each stage, all one does is know without interfering. Once you get that skill, you understand this is a way of stillness, allowing energy to be taken away from all this doing, controlling, born of ego and self, into just knowing, awareness, where you disappear. It's a path of meditation, but has to be built on the foundation, present moment awareness and silence. Meditation in a nutshell. Any questions before we begin? Okay, so let's get going. For those of you who've been sitting a while, you want to sort of stretch your legs, scratch something, cough or whatever, please do so. In a moment, we will begin. Close your eyes. Closing your eyes automatically brings the attention inside your body. It usually resides out there in the world, beyond you. Now, with your eyes closed, the mindfulness, the awareness dwells within your body. The mindfulness becomes alert to the sensations in your body. Give it time, it doesn't happen immediately on closing your eyes. As you become sensitive to different physical feelings, if you find any which are irritating, which are going to cause pain and discomfort, adjust your body now. Make those final adjustments with your eyes closed, 1, 2, or 3 minutes after you've begun the meditation. When you start, the mind is too coarse, it can't really pick up all sensations. If you just go on to the meditation too quickly, you haven't really addressed the body. Your vehicle is not roadworthy for meditation. So get the body just nice. when the body is relaxed. We can start working with the mind. Present moment awareness. Doesn't matter what's happened. Even a moment ago, it's all dead. We let it go. We don't allow it to linger. We don't carry the past over into this present moment. Nor do we allow the mind to go planning, anticipating what might happen next. We know the best way of looking after the future is being peaceful in the present. You deserve this peace. So see if you can put value into the present moment. moving into the silence. A mind which knows but doesn't say, which is aware but doesn't speak. and to watch the breath. If you're not doing already, that feeling which tells you whether the breath is going in or going out. Now's the time to focus. How does it feel now? Coming close to another meditation period. How has the meditation affected you? Just notice the state of mind at the end of a meditation compared to that at the beginning. Notice the increase in peace, in ease. When the ease gets strong, we call it inner happiness. And a sense of freedom. Also notice what worked and what didn't. It's important to reflect at the end of every meditation. I'm now going to ring the gong 3 times. Please listen to every sound from the gong. When the last sound disappears, come out for your meditation. Once again, reflection is very important. It's where you learn. You learn much more by doing, reflecting what works, what doesn't work, what it feels like. You ever learn from talks. The talks give the map, but this is the experience. You look around you at stages of the meditation to find out the territory where you're in, to get to know it, and get to know how to advance. And what it's why to advance, why to meditate and become peaceful. One really learns these things, one becomes a very skillful meditator. People who make rapid progress are not those ones who have a strong willpower, it's those who have strong wisdom power. Willpower is usually can succeed in life, but it very rarely succeeds in meditation. Willpower can get you so far, and then you come to a dead end, a brick wall which leads to frustration. That's always the end result of will, coming up to something which is stronger than you. And that's frustration, and sometimes despair, and people give up. But with wisdom power, there's no limit to what you can do. Wisdom power can see the obstacles. It looks, and never gives up, never forces, but understands. And by using that investigation at every stage of the meditation, not only do you get deeper, but you also understand. You get a good feeling, understanding, experience of the territory of meditation. And that wisdom power which can look around and undersee and understand is so important. Just recently I was telling people that whenever they get frustrated in meditation, All they should do is stand back and have a wider look. It's a case of banging your head against a brick wall. You only just get bumps and bruises. Everybody should know, should be wise enough to know bricks are harder than heads. So you're not going to win. But if you actually stand back, you will see to the left of that wall there is a gap, a door. To the right of that part of the wall there is a ladder going over the top. It's only when we focus on just one part of the wall we don't see the way around and beyond those obstacles. And so in meditation, always develop and keep in mind this investigative faculty of the mind. The thing which enhances not just the peace, but the wisdom as well. You understand where you are, what's going on, what you're supposed to be doing, and why you're supposed to be doing it. You understand that wisdom aspect of meditation. Then you have the power to go deeper. It's not willpower, it's wisdom power, which is the most important. So, has anyone got any comments or questions about the meditation today, or any other aspects of meditation? Does anybody want to know how much you should meditate every day? Oh, you got a question. Okay, there's two things there. It's just whenever you have that success in life, when you get the happiness and rewards in life, remember the mind will always be inclining to where it feels its happiness lies. It doesn't go where you want it to. This is one of the great insights in the way of the mind. It's not like yours to tell what to do and when to do it. The mind is very rebellious. It needs to be guided. It needs to be encouraged. It needs to be nurtured. You don't train the mind with a stick, you train it with gentle encouragement. I was mentioning to someone a couple of days ago that apparently there's a film about this, a documentary, but I read about this in an article. There's a fellow called the Horse Whisperer who apparently trains horses not by just beating them or putting these bits which cut into their into their mouths, but which just goes up to these wild horses and just whispers into their ear, gains their confidence, and the horses let this guy ride them without any problem. And apparently that just he was very mindful observing these horses for a long period of time until he got insight into how they worked. And he used that wisdom. And he can do wonders with any horse. Some horses which, you know, professional horse breakers just can't handle. He does it with ease. And I don't know, I think there's supposed to be a documentary about it. Have you heard about that Horse Whisperer? A movie and a book. Oh, okay. But anyway, it just shows how powerful wisdom power is. So instead of like being a horse whisperer, you can be like a mind whisperer. To find out how your mind works, instead of like beating it and forcing it, you whisper to it with kindness and how it can actually get it into peaceful states of mind, even when you're busy. And you find all the mind wants, like any other horse wants, is a bit of friendliness, kindness, gentleness. So you work with the mind. Dear mind, how are you doing today? And we're going to meditate now. You've been working very hard in your business. So come on, we'll get some peace together. Whatever it is, that gentleness approach, and you understand that if the mind finds happiness and joy and fulfillment in meditation, it will always incline there. This is why the encouragement of happiness in meditation is so important, to get the joy coming up. But you'll find as you are successful in your life, you'll find you do get more energy coming up. And that energy is like a resource which can go in two ways. It can either lead to more restlessness, or more powerful stillness. So your job is to gently guide that mind. And it's okay to use a few inner commentaries to talk to the mind, to whisper to it. Say, look, mind, it's meditation time now. You work so hard. Meditation would be really good for you. It's great for your business, great for your health. Come on, now's the time to be quiet. Use like wisdom power like that, and the mind will always respond. Because you know that I'm successful at my business, and I probably work harder than anybody in this room if you'd only see the amount of hours I put in. But I whisper to my mind, come on, now's the time to be quiet, meditation time. And the mind then cooperates, and we have a great time together. Look at your mind like a friend, not a possession. If you look upon it as a possession, you'll be cruel to it and control it. You look at it like a friend, and you work with it this way and that way, and you'll have great times. Does that make any sense? Okay. Any other questions before we finish off for today? Okay. So make friends with your mind. Know it so well like a good friend, you'll have great times together. But don't go around beating up on your friend. And then the mind and you will be great partners on the path to peace. Okay, I think it's enough. Oh, we can ask a question? No. We can now pay respects and then we can go and do what we need to do.